Chapter 1. Behind every crazy woman, there's an even more batshit mother. My mom was always more of a friend than an authority figure. But not like a laid-back friend who comes over to watch Homeland. More like an annoying friend who comes over with two dudes you don't know and starts doing body shots off your sleeping roommate at 3 a.m. on a Wednesday. Everyone's mom is fucking crazy to some degree, and my mom is no different. Except that she's completely different because she is infinitely crazier than your mom. She is a product of Ashland, Oregon in the 1960s, a reaction to a generation of Betty Homemakers and Goody Two-Shoes, and a man-eater with a serious penchant for partying. In her youth, my mom looked like a real-life Barbie. She has blonde hair, one green eye, and one blue eye, and tits that I inherited only after surgery. Though she always emphasized brains over beauty, by talking shit about any woman who didn't make her own money and own at least one copy of Jonathan Livingston Seagull, my mom's identity was heavily wrapped up in her physical appearance, and attention from the opposite sex was a prize I could never compete with. After dissecting her psychologically over the years, I feel I understand why she never stayed in one place for more than a year. Why she's been married to every name in Paul Simon's song 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, and why after a summer at sleepaway camp, she sat my sister and me down to tell us we needed to go live with our father because she didn't know how to be a mom anymore. All of this was a step up from her mom, a lady who allowed my sister and me to sleep in cribs when we visited up until age 9. At times she felt like my child, especially when she would remind me that in another lifetime I was the parent and she was the daughter. But mostly she felt like an older sister I was always trying to keep up with. And according to everyone around me, I had it great. My mom was the fun mom. She was the woman who had her nipple pierced in front of my 8th grade boyfriend. The woman who one time disclosed to a table full of dinner guests that I had recently taken a Bic razor and accidentally given my pussy a mohawk. And a woman who, when I was 15, told me I needed to get a fake ID if I wanted to keep hanging out with her. "It's just the way it is. You have 1 week to figure it out before spring break," my mom threatened through the phone. At this point, I was living with my dad in Arizona, but every March I went out to visit my mom in San Diego for a week of mother-daughter debauchery. "I'm serious, Jen. I had like 3 IDs when I was your age. Maybe 4. "You were dating a drug dealer. I live in Scottsdale." I tried to contain my barking so as not to let my father hear our discussion. "Just figure it out, okay?" I heard the click of her 30-pound cell phone hanging up. There was no way I was going to figure it out. I was a sophomore in high school in one of the most conservative states in the country. I was a prep who wore business suits to school and carried a briefcase. I took myself incredibly serious and always threw big words around to let my peers know I was destined for a better life than them. The downside of elitism in high school is not having access to any illegal shit. I was on student government and the president of FACS, Fine Arts Community Service, a fake club I made up strictly for college applications. I had a gay boyfriend who claimed to be straight but was still on the tumbling team, and the two of us spent our wildest nights dancing around my bedroom acting out the Aladdin soundtrack. I would never even have seen marijuana if it weren't for my mom having gotten me stoned the summer before 8th grade because she felt it might prevent me from smoking cigarettes. I decided the easiest route would be to look for an older person I resembled, then ask them if they had a spare credit card, license, or gym membership with their birthday on it that I could possibly borrow. Unfortunately, everyone I approached seemed uneager to help. So I arrived in San Diego the following week, empty-handed. "Unbelievable," my mom moaned as she handed me her coffee mug filled with Coors Light and flipped a U-turn out of the airport. For the first few days, we laid low. We saw a few movies, tried to talk about our periods, and even played a couple rounds of which of your husbands had the most money. But by the end of the week, my mom was restless and in need of a brumsky. She decided our only option was to cross the border into Mexico. "Nobody cards in Mexico," she said, slipping into a bikini. "I still think you have to be 18. "You're basically 18. Want a thong or a full bottom?" she asked, holding up 2 equally slutty bikinis. The kind I imagine she got for free with her last 6-pack of beer. Within the hour, we were headed south. We stopped to pick up Mandy, my mom's manicurist, and Mandy's cokehead sister, Cody. Mandy was petite, red